Now, we start in week two of the nuts and bolts of prayer. And this is not the theoretical things. This is more of how it is that we do the practice of prayer. And I know 2 weeks is a long introduction, but this type of thought and this type of practice is really foreign to most of us. It is not part of our regular culture. It's not part of the way that we typically do things, and we'll see that as this unfolds today. But we have to begin to work on these things. There will be homework today, so you have to be ready for that, and you will be able to put some of these things into practice this week, and you will have to practice them. So let's take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to come to you. We pray that you would give us a few moments of quiet in our hearts and in this world, that we might focus upon you, we might understand what you have for us and the depths of the riches of your grace that are available to us, and this intimacy that you call us to, that you desire to have with us, and should be the great longing of our hearts as well. So we pray that you would open our eyes to what you have for us in Christ's name. Amen. So most of us are built for contemplation. Unfortunately, most of us don't like contemplation. Now, it might be because we've trained our minds to think or concentrate only for a short period of time. Or it could be that we lack the commitment or discipline or the plain-out stick-to-itiveness necessary to contemplate at the level that Scripture and the Lord wants us to. Most of us like solitude, but only in small doses, and only the most introverted of us can take it in a long stretch of time. Now, I would attribute this desiring of a lack of desiring to be alone with the Lord as a result of our fall, when we lost that direct communion with the Lord back in Genesis chapter 3. Think for a moment when the only voice that Adam heard was that of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Only the sounds of creation, no radio, no internal tapes running in his brain, rerunning the mistakes that he had made or the wrongs done to him, or definitely how he would do things differently if he had the chance to do them again. He heard one voice and one voice only, and that was the Lord's. Now, when it comes to the life of prayer, the skills needed to be cultivated and practiced, hence the common term for the monastic disciplines of a practice. It must be the practice of prayer, the practice of silence, the practice of meditation, the practice of reading the Scriptures. The classical terms used for this are Lectio Divina and Meditatio Divina, and we'll unpack those at a later time. But the spiritual disciplines require work. They require regularity. They require time from us. Just like all good habits that we are to develop and cultivate, you can't do it once and then expect it to last. You have to do it again and again and again. And once His grace has been imputed to us, to the believer, each believer has the capacity for a fulfilling and mature life of prayer, regularly filling our minds with His words and the Spirit and that closeness with the Lord that we really desire. St. John of the Cross, one of the Desert Fathers, wrote, "The Father spoke one word, which was His Son, and this word He speaks always in eternal silence, and in silence must be heard by the soul. Our greatest need is to be silent before our great God. Only in silence can we hear the Lord, and silence is a commodity that is rarely found in our world today. We purposely avoid times of silence. We walk around with earbuds in so that we can avoid any contact with other people. We're listening to podcasts, and those might be important things, but we're avoiding contact. We walk into our house. How many of us immediately turn on some noise within our home? Or we make idle conversation just to avoid that awkward silence, and we'll explore why we do this later. But we must understand silence. If we think it is merely the absence of external noise, we have not really understood silence. There is always and always will be noise around us, even if it's our own heart beating, even if it's our own breath. If you try to go out in the woods alone and you can find silence, you'll hear birds, you'll hear a bird fly over. One bird makes a lot of noise flying over. Silence is something that is cultivated within our own hearts and our own minds through practice. And silence in our practice of prayer is necessary, since it was in silence that we received our salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. It is a gift to us, not of ourselves, lest we should boast. And only when our mouths, as well as, we'll see shortly, our minds, are quiet and focused on Him, then we hear the Lord through His Word. We recognize His voice in the Holy Spirit, calling us to holiness, showing us the way that we are to live. So the search for silence, I want you to understand, is not a passive search. You don't just get silence if you sit in a room alone. It requires each of us to be deeply engaged, to be vigilant, to be receptive, and to be aware of things. And this is very important for us to understand. The silent mind is not an idle mind, because our minds are never idle. But it is a mind that has learned to quiet the things around it, to recognize and watch those thoughts that would normally lead us off on a rabbit track, and we simply let those thoughts pass by us while we focus on the Word and while we focus on what the Lord has for us. So the contemplative disciplines or practices, they don't get us anything in and of themselves, okay? But we use them as a means of a deeper relationship with the Lord. The practices do not produce in us spiritual insight. They do not produce in us a mature relationship with the Lord. But they are only a vehicle for the falling away of what hinders or obscures our deeper lives of prayer and communion with the Lord. We must remember that it is not God who's hiding from us. He's not wandering off somewhere. We are the ones who fill our lives with so much other stuff, so many other things, to the point that we have no margin in our lives for the type of prayer life that we really should be having. And to understand the use of the tools and how to use them to get us to that point where we can dig deeply into the Lord and focus only on Him. Snatches of prayer throughout the day will serve the purpose of keeping us really thinly connected to the Lord. Now, one man I know, and he shared this with me, a deep man of faith. He's got a rich and mature faith. But he told me his prayer life is like this. He says, when I drive through town, I begin to pray at every red light that I hit. And he said, the longest red light is 3 minutes that I've ever hit in town, and most are 20 to 30 seconds. Well, prayers of this length are good for, Aunt Martha's surgery coming up. Lord, watch over her. But they're not really good for developing a deep prayer life. Now, they might be used for what has traditionally been known as breath prayers. A breath prayer is that quick statement to the Lord throughout the day, which may be a phrase which is repeated again and again. Lord, make me an instrument of your grace. That's a quick breath prayer that you might say 10 or 15 times a day whenever you have a moment and your mind focuses on it. Or it might be a chance to remember some of the Lord's great attributes or characteristics. Lord, remind me of your holiness. Fix in my mind your holiness. These are just one sentence breath prayers that come out to remind us. But this type of praying, these short little prayers, will never take us to the depths of relationship that we were created to have with the Lord. A good relationship takes time. It takes effort. It is costly to us personally. So in order to achieve this, you must begin to silence the world around you in a purposeful manner. But I have to tell you, there are some barriers to this, and let me list some of those barriers for you. So the first barrier to this achieving this intimate relationship with the Lord is the stream of thoughts that we have in our mind. Our minds are never still. They were never created to be still. Think of the daydreams that you have, the random thoughts that come in and out of your minds, the dreams that you have at night. And if you do the studies, all of us dream. It's just whether we remember the dreams or not. Our minds are almost always active. But the stream of consciousness running through our minds can really cripple any effort that we have to be silent before the Lord. And even if we're not list-making people, our minds are list-making minds. There are tapes from what we have recently seen that play again and again in our minds. There are conversations that we have had. Everything that has happened to us in an emotionally charged way is still there, ready to be considered in our minds if we have an idle moment, or if we have time to string together a regular pattern of thoughts. We might move from one thing to another, to another, to another. Somebody mentions something. Do you remember what we did back in high school? And said, oh, yeah, boy, we were crazy back then. And from there you go, decide to do something like that in college. And from there you're on to the girl you dated in college. And then you're on to the first date with the one who would be your spouse. And before you know it, you're thinking, why did I say that to my wife this morning? Okay, what did that have to do with the original question? But that stream of thought went so fast in your mind, one thought to another, and now you're completely off onto something else. That's the way that our minds work. Now, the second barrier stems out of the first, and it's the commentary that our minds make about those thoughts. And this is what I refer to when I talk about a tape running in our minds. Imagine this scenario. Okay? You have set apart in your day 30 minutes to pray and to read, to meditate upon the Lord. You have your spot picked out. You've got your time set aside. You begin with a short prayer that basically says, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, open your heart to the Word, and that God would then draw you into close communion with Him. You then read the Word, your passage for the day, and you begin to contemplate what you have read, and you prepare to pray. And the first commentary in your mind comes up, and it says, I wonder when I'm going to know what 30 minutes is up. Well, I better set my alarm on my phone. So you go and get your phone, and you come back, you set the alarm, you have it there sitting next to you, and you go, oh, now I've forgotten the passage. So you go back, and you have to reread the passage because you don't know how to focus your brain. And then a thought strikes you, and you think, well, I have to pick up my daughter today from school. And not only do I have to pick her up from school, which is still several hours away, but you think of the long carpool line that you have to get in, and you wonder if getting there maybe 6 or 7 minutes earlier would get you closer to the front of the car line pool. But then you remember she has dance, and you think, I wonder if she packed her clothes, or if I need to pack her clothes, because, you know, all those dance shoes, they always stink so bad. And then when I pick her up, she's going to want a snack, but she always complains because I bring in these healthy snacks, and she'll want to go to Chick-fil-A. And that's all she says. And you see, in less than 15 seconds, the commentary of your mind has taken you far, far away from the passage that you were reading and from your time with the prayer. And it's not the thoughts themselves. The thoughts themselves will come and go. And later on, we're going to learn how to let them pass us by. You're aware of them, but you make no comment upon them. But it's the way our minds expand upon these thoughts by looking at each one and thinking and then commenting on them and then trying to associate it with another thought. And it starts the train rolling, and before you know it, you're way off of where you should be. It becomes like a chain, one thing linking to another. And before you know it, you're no longer thinking of your daughter, but you're actually thinking about the article you read about the crazy lady who was in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A, and she thought her order was wrong and was making such a fuss that Chick-fil-A had to call the police on her just to get her out of the driving line. And all of a sudden you think, I wonder how much of my 30 minutes I have left to pray. That's the commentary in our minds. Another barrier is simply the noise in our lives. Now, how many of us have actually spent an entire day in silence? No noise. Now, I'm not talking about just hearing people's voices. I'm talking about electronic noise as well. Now, years ago, a group of us from Central went down to St. Bernard's in Coleman for a short retreat, and most of that retreat was spent in silence. Long periods where we would begin with a passage, and then you were called to go off on your own, because there was plenty of area out there to be alone, and to contemplate that passage. And after an hour or two of silence, of just you and the Lord, we would come back, and then we would pick another passage and go do the same thing. At first, silence can be very scary because you hear those voices and those tapes in your head. But then, if you've cultivated it, you find that the return to the noisy world is the scary part. When I was in Spain, 40 days walking the Camino de Santiago, there were days where I hardly spoke to anyone or was spoken to. All I had was the passage that I read in the morning and my contemplation on that. My brain had grown used to the silence and the daily walk and how very little that I spoke to others or was spoken to. The lack of noise of the outside world. When I came back to the United States, it was overwhelming, the amount of noise in our culture and in our society. I drove around for the first week with no radio on in the car, which is very foreign to me, but I valued the silence. I had grown used to the silence. That's what we have to train our brain to do. Now, another barrier to achieving this silence is our unwillingness to be in deep relationship with others. This is then carried into our relationship with the Lord. Our present societal norms seem to foster many and varied relationships, but few of them are very deep or meaningful. Now, how many people do you let into your inner circle? If we had a bullseye, you've got all these friends, you've got these, how many are down here in this inner circle that we're willing to lay our lives and hearts and minds open to their commentary, even their critique? We may know many people, but that inner circle is very small. Now, a few years ago, there was a man in New York the earlier days of Facebook, and he had amassed 2,000 friends on Facebook. And he wanted to know how many of those friends were actually interested in his life and wanted to get into a deeper relationship with them. And most of them were centered in and around New York City. So he put out an invitation on his Facebook page and invited all 2,000 of his friends to a bar where he would buy the drinks that night for anybody who showed up if they were interested in having a deeper relationship, of getting to know one another on a closer level, of being willing to be open with each other. And that night, as he prepared to empty his bank account with all the drinks he would buy, two people showed up. Out of the 2,000, only two people were willing to go into a deeper relationship. To develop close and deep relationships requires us to open ourselves up to others, to offer parts of ourselves freely to others, to expend emotional energy and caring to one another, to get our hands dirty in the needs of other people's lives. These requirements often keep us from going deep in relationship with people. That spills over into our relationship with the Lord. This unwillingness to be intimate when it comes to the Lord means we often are satisfied with a superficial relationship with our Heavenly Father rather than the deeper relationship that He calls us to and that He desires to have. And if we belong to Christ, should be the greatest desire of our hearts as well. And praying at a stoplight will not develop that. Short little prayers will not develop that. But reading and meditating on His Word, being quiet before Him, that will help develop it. So we find intimacy with the Lord lacking in our lives, and we don't know how to address it because our world does not seem to facilitate this deep, intimate relationship. So when was the last time you had a deep, in-depth spiritual conversation with someone? When was the last time you prayed with a close friend? And I'm not talking about in church or in a Bible study or in a small group. I just mean in a regular conversation. When was the last time you went deep in the Word with someone? Measure that against the last time you talked about Auburn, Alabama football with people you call your friends. Which is easier to do, the football or the prayer and the spiritual discussion? within the body of Christ, it should be this spiritual discussion. We should be concerned about one another's spiritual depth and growth and how to foster that. So we long to be close to Christ and to have the same type of relationship our Savior had with their Heavenly Father. And as Paul lays out for us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 19, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ who lives within me. Paul looks within himself and does not see himself. He sees Christ. We wonder how that's possible. Well, it required Paul to give up self, to give up self-reliance, self-dependency, self-sufficiency, self-determination, self-love. I mean, it's not that Paul hates himself. He hates the sin within himself. But his love for Christ is greater than his love for anything else, even himself or any other person in this world. That is the union with Christ that we are seeking. And it's possible for us to find the way to achieve this. The psalmist says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. And as Paul said, it is in God that we live and move and have our being. Jesus said, on that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. In John chapter 17, he says, may they all be one, just as, Father, you are in me and I am in you, so that they also may be in us. It is possible to have union with Christ, but it will take a giving up of ourselves as we work on our part. But the work has already been enabled by the presence of the Holy Spirit in each believer. So whatever there is to know about ourselves, we can find hidden in Christ with God. What can be known about our purpose in this world, about our presence here in this world, about the proper perspective we are to have, will only be revealed to us as our union with Christ grows deeper and deeper. Now, Myers-Briggs may tell you about your personality, and it may reveal to you certain personality traits that you may live into or want to erase in your life. But you will not know yourself until you know Christ. The deepest things of your personhood are hidden in Christ and await discovery, but they will only be revealed in silence before Him. So that brings us to the moment of your homework where you're going to begin to put these things into practice this week. So this is your homework, and we're going to start small because once you get into it, you're going to see that this is not easy to do. This activity is foreign to most of our minds. So I want you to find a quiet spot. Don't set aside any amount of particular time. I don't want you to be worried about when time runs out. But I want you to take your favorite psalm. Now, if you don't have a favorite psalm that comes immediately to your mind, go to Psalm 23, go to Psalm 51, go to Psalm 46. I mean, these are great psalms. Take one of these and begin to read it. But every time your mind wanders to stray thoughts or anything other than the text, you have to go back and start over again. Okay. Now, this is not the time to make commentary on the text. If you begin to make commentary on the text, you have to go back. This is only the time to read the text and to focus upon each word of the text. When you have achieved reading the entire text, when you have not strayed in your thoughts, then you can go back. Stray thoughts. You can't think about how hard the chair is. You can't think about, well, Randy said not to let my mind stray. Oh, my mind is stray. Now I have to go back and start. See, all those are commentaries. All those things we might not think because we do them so often in our normal study. We want only the Word. Then, when you have done that, read the entire psalm, then go back and begin to pray that psalm. Now, how do you pray the psalm? You begin by praying by inserting your name and your situation. Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You lead Randy beside your still waters, and you provide for me. Even those things that I may not want or understand, you provide them for me. And you go and you begin to pray the psalm. And when your mind begins to wander, you have to go back and start again. Now, I want you to see how often you have to restart, how easily your mind is led astray into these other thoughts. And we're going to learn over the next couple weeks how we keep our mind focused upon what is before us and how not to close out those thoughts, because our mind is not idle, but to let those thoughts pass by us without making a single commentary about them. Keeping our minds and hearts focused in His Word, listening to what He says. That's going to be your homework. So I look for some input this week as to how it went for you. Was it successful? How hard was it for you? How many times did you have to restart reading your psalm? Don't be surprised if you never actually get through the psalm without your mind wandering in your first tries. It is a practice. It is something to be developed and to be mastered over a period of time. So let me pray for you now. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that in this week, as we begin to really focus upon letting things pass us by and studying Your Word, that You would prepare our minds and our hearts, that we would take the time, put these things into practice, make these things a habit in our spiritual lives. We only want to know You deeper. We only want to be more intimate with You. We're not looking for new revelation or anything like that. We're looking for what You have for us in Your revealed Word as it is given to us. We want to know Christ and Him alone. We want to know Christ and Him crucified. We want to know Him in our hearts. We want to know Him in our minds. Fix these things within us, Lord, that we might rejoice as we grow closer to You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I look for more input from you this week as to how that went. You can email Dan or I, and we'll be glad to interact with you at any time. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you at 10:30 for worship here at Central.